Now we listen for the Word of God in readings from the Old and New Testaments. Not all psalms are joyful songs of praise. And in Psalm 137, we hear of the Israelites' sadness because they've been taken away from their beloved homeland. Alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down crying because we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres up in the trees there, because that's where our captors asked us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing to us a song about Zion, they said. But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my strong hand wither. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Our whole biblical memory of Christmas centers in the angelic announcement to the shepherds on a hillside near Bethlehem. Here is a portion of that scene. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. And they were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all people. This very day, in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom He is pleased." Tony Award-winning musical called Something Rotten that was all the rage on Broadway a few years ago will be staged by Lakewood's Beck Center next summer. I know this because our son Eric is cast in one of the leads of Beck Center's production. The musical is set in the year 1595, and it tells the story of two brothers who struggle to find success in the theatrical world as they compete with the wild popularity of their contemporary, William Shakespeare. So they seek guidance and theatrical inspiration from a soothsayer. And he tells them that the next big thing in theater will be a musical. "What's a musical?" they ask. The soothsayer explains. "A play where the dialogue stops and the plot is conveyed through song." Wait. So an actor is saying his lines and then out of nowhere he just starts singing? Yes. The brothers then talk about how unbelievable that would be. Well, they don't talk about it. They start singing a song about it. The show winks at the audience while poking fun at the notion of breaking into song in the midst of everyday life. And yet, that's not totally unfamiliar to us. From the Gospel of Luke, we heard an excerpt from one of the most familiar of all Bible stories. Shepherds were minding their own business, keeping watch over their flocks over on the hillsides outside the village of Bethlehem. And out of the blue, they were visited by angels, messengers from heaven. At first, a single angel announced that ancient prophecy had been fulfilled. A Savior was born. But suddenly, that angel was joined by an army of messengers, a chorus of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host. And what did they do? They broke into song. Singing praises to God, they joined their voices to sing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom He is pleased. Okay, so in a Broadway musical, people break into song. And in a biblical narrative, we hear of an angel being joined by a chorus of backup singers lifting their voices to praise God. But regular folks like you and me, we don't break into song in our daily lives. Or do we? Actually, I think it's more common for most of us than we may realize. Now, true, we may not break into song like, "Did you pack your lunch?" or "This soup is so good." No. But in the back of our minds, we're constantly playing our own game of name that tune. When we hear a familiar melody or lyric, we start humming the tune, or we start rattling off the words that we learned 5 or 20 or 50 years ago. Often, we may recall a place or a person or a situation we associate with that song. We may even feel a twinge of the emotion that we felt because of that song's association with that moment or that person. The power of music to stir memory and emotion, it's never greater than it is at Christmas time. Maybe you learned popular songs or sacred works singing in a choir, a church choir, a school choir, community choir. Or maybe you worked retail and you heard that same loop of Christmas songs playing in the background of the store for the entire Christmas shopping season. I know I did in college. Maybe you remember sitting with your grandparents every year in a warm, crowded Christmas Eve service filled with music. Maybe you recall songs that you heard when you shared your first Christmas with your beloved, perhaps while still dating or perhaps newly married. At the Cleveland Orchestra Youth Chorus concert at our church a couple weeks ago, one of the songs they sang was a piece that my wife and I remember singing as a duet decades ago at a friend's Christmas time wedding. You know, it's one thing to listen to holiday tunes and sacred works, Christmas carols, listening on the radio, in the car, on our personal devices. But we want to give voice to hymns and carols that we've known and sung since we first learned to carry a tune. And yet, as we well know, the pandemic caused by this airborne virus has impacted how we breathe the same air in a space. Out of caution for spreading a virus that we might not even know that we're carrying, we've become familiar with masking up. And scientists tell us that the act of shouting or the act of singing has the potential for reaching deep down into our lungs to propel viruses or to inhale them deeply. And so we've learned that we have to exercise caution for something as innocent, as familiar, as dear as our singing beloved Christmas carols. Did you know that there is a biblical precedent for our struggle to be able to sing? We heard it expressed in today's reading from Psalm 137. About 600 years before the birth of Jesus, Israel was overrun by the armies of Babylon, and many Israelites were captured and hauled away to live in exile in Babylon for a couple generations. Separated from the comfort and familiarity of their homeland, and cut off from their now destroyed temple, the Israelites' spirits sagged. The psalmist, the psalm writer, captured their despair. He wrote, "Alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down crying because we remembered Zion." And the Israelites' captors called to be entertained. The psalmist wrote, "Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing us a song about Zion," they said. "But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil?" The psalmist wrote that as a sign of their despair, the people took their harps and other instruments and hung them in the trees. As much as the exiled Israelites wanted to sing, as much as their songs about their beloved homeland meant to them, they found it challenging to sing those songs under the difficult conditions they found themselves in. And perhaps more than ever, we can relate. Many of us miss singing with exuberance, without restraint. But I think we discover an unexpected benefit from the disappointing but understandable constraints on being able to sing freely. We discover just how deeply we appreciate singing God's praises like the angels. Doesn't matter what we think about our singing voices. Doesn't matter whether we've had formal training or we learned to sing as we stood in front of a mirror singing into a hairbrush microphone. It doesn't matter if we automatically start singing the harmony or if we're lucky enough to barely remember the words to the melody. We realize, as never before, that singing is a pleasurable means for expressing our emotions, for recalling dear memories, and for declaring good news. It's God's gift to us for expressing what fills our hearts. So, on a silent night in the days ahead, let us listen with care, with restraint, with hope for brighter days to come. Let us raise our voices. With the angels, let us sing Alleluia to our King, Christ the Savior is born. Amen.